Jesus is alive, and I want to open up this morning. What a word from KC already. I want to open up this morning in Matthew chapter 28. It's going to be on the screen for you, so you don't got to worry about flipping to it in your Bibles or on your phones. Matthew chapter 28, and I just want to say welcome to church. We're so glad you're here, and I'm excited for what God's going to do today, believing he's going to do something special in someone's life today. So let's just look at what we're focused on, because this is what it's all about. Matthew chapter 28, you know the story, but it's just worth reading again. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the woman, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." God, we are so grateful for the truth that he is risen, that we sing and worship a Savior who is alive. And this is the solid rock that your church is built upon. And we are praying that your church would expand today in this moment. Would you speak to us? Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I am a big fan, and if you're wondering why I have my phone up here, I'm a big fan of phones, of the iPhone, and I never have my phone, so don't text me because it's not on Do Not Disturb. Do not text me, okay? Because that will throw me off. And if there's anybody watching, a buddy of mine, do not text me. That would not be funny, and I mean it. I never have my phone up here, but I have it up here today because I'm a big fan of Apple products. I'm a big fan of the iPhone, Apple Watch, MacBook Pro. The one thing I don't have is an iPad. I just think they're kind of lame, to be honest with you. If you have one, more power to you. If you notice, our church loves Apple products. I mean, we got Apple behind you. We have Apple up here. JR is running two iPads and a MacBook Pro over there. Who needs all of that? You can ask him afterwards why he's got it. But I love Apple products, and I love the iPhone. I have had an iPhone since 2011, I think is when I first got an iPhone. And so my entire marriage, I've had an iPhone, and the entire time I've had kids, I have had an iPhone, and this has been amazing. Now, there are downsides to the smartphone. Number one, some of you are guilty of it. I know I've been guilty of it. We live life through these screens. Shame on you. But that's not what we're talking about today. That's not why I'm talking about the phone. The phone in general is amazing because of the camera. And so I grew up where my dad would set up a video recording camera for Christmas, and he would bring a camera with him on trips and stuff with all the different lenses. That was my dad. Well, I've been blessed to have the iPhone. And so as of right now, I've got over 20,000 photos and videos in my phone. I checked before I came up here. 20,000 photos and videos documenting my entire life. And this is amazing because I've been able to document my marriage, our honeymoon, when we've had kids. I've got pictures and videos galore. But the last 6 weeks has been different, and I cannot wait to replace this phone. In fact, I'm replacing it in the next couple of weeks because this camera has gone, it's messed up, okay? It's not working great. In fact, right now, if I were to pull up and try to take a picture of you, here's the issue. It's really messed up, especially like it will not focus. So like right now, I can see a blurry Chris and Lacey down here and blurry. I can't see. I mean, I literally can't make out anything. The only way at this point to get a clear picture is if I zoom out. So now I zoom out and voila, and I got a lot more coming into the frame right now. In fact, I might even take a picture right now. That would be pretty amazing. I won't post this because I'm not on social media, so it's just for my good taking. The only way to get a clear picture is to zoom out and allow way more into the frame. Now, here's why I bring this up. In life, we've got all sorts of things that go wrong in our lives. And if we're not careful, we get very fixated on the things that aren't going right in our life. Like, we will stare at them with a set of binoculars. So you got marriage issues, you will wake up and you got binoculars on your marriage issues, reminding yourself everything's going bad in your marriage. Facing a difficult circumstance, maybe someone's out, you wake up, everything that you're flowing your life through is through someone who's just passed away in your life, and you get so fixated on that. And that's a dangerous place to be, where you're so honed in on what's not going right in your life, because it makes your vision a little bit blurry. Think about Good Friday. I heard it this way: the only thing that makes Good Friday so good is when you look at it from the perspective of Easter Sunday. I mean, we wouldn't be celebrating Good Friday if it wasn't for Easter Sunday. That is the only reason, because we show up in the church house on Friday believing that Jesus really did rise from the grave. That's why we're here on Good Friday. If Jesus had stayed dead, what would be the point of showing up on Friday celebrating a dead man? So we look at it from that perspective. And I came here to tell you today that yes, there's things that are going wrong in your life, but I just want to encourage you to zoom out just enough where the empty tomb is in the frame of everything you see in life. That's our big idea for today. When the empty tomb is in the frame, everything else comes into focus. When the empty tomb is in the frame, everything else comes into focus. So we're going to draw a tomb this morning. When the empty tomb is in the frame, everything else comes into focus. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I am definitely not saying that everything that's going bad in your life is going to make sense because of that empty tomb. I'm not going to sit here and claim that. But what I am saying is this: when you zoom out just enough to let the empty tomb come into the frame of how you're viewing that situation, this is Hebrews. This is what the writer's saying in Hebrews: to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. It's allowing that empty tomb to come into the frame of how you're viewing that, and your vision will become a little bit more clear. Again, I'm not going to sit here and claim that you losing a loved one, maybe you've lost a child, I'm not going to claim that's just going to make sense on this side of heaven. Maybe your marriage has fallen apart. I'm not going to claim that with this empty tomb perspective, that's going to make perfect sense on this side of heaven. Not going to claim infertility makes sense, miscarriages make sense. Not going to claim depression and anxiety make sense. I'm not going to claim that job loss and financial difficulty will make sense just because of the empty tomb perspective. But I am saying that when you allow the empty frame, the resurrection of Jesus, to come into the picture of how you're viewing that situation, it does bring to clarity your purpose in life, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, even in spite of all the bad things that are going wrong in your life. So there's five things, really, that I believe the empty tomb really brings into focus. And that's what I would like to talk about today. And through these five things that the empty tomb brings into focus, I think it allows us to see life a little bit more clear. Can we do that today? Y'all with me? Can we say empty tomb together? Empty tomb. Let's say it louder. Empty tomb. The empty tomb. Hey, I love that. That is amazing. So number one, the empty tomb brings validation into focus. Number one, the empty tomb brings validation into focus. Jesus made a lot of claims when he was on this planet. I don't know if you knew that. You read through the Gospel of John, we have these I am statements. You read throughout the Gospels, we have all these statements that Jesus was claiming to be the door, claiming to be the good shepherd, claiming to be the resurrection and the life. He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, claimed to be the living water, claimed to be the bread of life. Jesus made a lot of claims. In fact, Jesus even claimed when he was on this planet that he was going to die and he was going to come back to life. He made all sorts of claims. Ultimately, Jesus was claiming that he was and is God. He was claiming to be the Son of God. He was claiming to be the long-awaited Messiah. Jesus made all of these claims, and this empty tomb is ultimately what brings validation to every single thing that Jesus claimed while he was on this planet. Had Jesus stayed dead, everything he said would be pointless, but we have the empty tomb to look at. And it validates everything Jesus said, and it validates everything God was saying of Jesus. Paul actually takes a very interesting perspective in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you look with me in verse 14, Paul begins, and chapter 15 is full of why the resurrection is essential. Paul begins to process, what if the resurrection had not happened? He's talking to a church at Corinth who was struggling or really thinking about this. Look at what Paul says. This is if the resurrection had not happened. Paul says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. What Paul's doing here in this text is he is reminding the church at Corinth that their faith and Paul's preaching, our preaching today, hinges upon the resurrection of Jesus. He's telling the Corinthians, if this resurrection didn't happen, then we're liars. Paul's saying, I'm a liar. And all this preaching that we've been doing, pointing you to Jesus, if Jesus is still dead, I am a liar. If Jesus is still dead, you have what he is calling a worthless faith. It's worth nothing. If Jesus is still dead, there is no grounds for our justification, for our sanctification, for our forgiveness, for our salvation. It's all worthless. So really what we're saying today is the empty tomb doesn't just validate every single thing Jesus says. It validates everything God says. We are in Christ. You are a child of God today if you've given your life to Jesus because of the empty tomb. The empty tomb brings validation into focus. Now, here's what I'm grateful for. Hello, there were a lot of eyewitnesses of the post-resurrection Jesus. Can we say amen to that? I was thinking about that this week. What if there was no written story of people who had seen Jesus? Thank you. And we need a little bit of more of that in the church house. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at this. Look at what Paul writes. We're going to back up. Starting in verse 5, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me. Thank the Lord for the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus. This is very important, especially the apostles, the disciples who saw Jesus. Because what we read is the disciples, they didn't just see Jesus like, oh, there's Jesus. No, we read they touched Jesus. We read they ate with Jesus. We read they spent time with Jesus after he rose back to life. These eyewitness accounts of everything, you know, historians, when you read about the history of the resurrection, most historians will not deny that these disciples of Jesus believed this guy who they followed died and came back to life. No one's really denying. They don't really deny that Jesus existed. And what we read in history, these disciples believe this Messiah that they followed didn't just die, he came back to life. No one's denying that. Why is that important for us? We're looking for validation that Jesus really is the guy. I want you to ask yourself this question. Why in the world would his disciples suffer and majority of them die for a man they actually knew was a fraud? Because that's what a lot of people will throw out. Oh, well, the disciples probably hid the body. It was a big cover-up. Why in the world would they go about the rest of their days preaching King Jesus if they actually knew deep down he was still dead? That doesn't add up. That doesn't make sense. And yes, people die for religion all of the time. But these disciples died for a man they followed for 3 years. They saw with their own eyes, knowing this is the guy, and they died for that man. The resurrection brings validation into focus. Secondly, the resurrection brings salvation into focus. The resurrection brings salvation into focus. And we can back up at verses 1-4. Paul writes, "Now I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." The resurrection, the empty tomb, brings salvation into focus. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, who many of them have given their lives to Jesus, and he was doing a little refresher on the gospel. He's wanting to recenter them back around the empty tomb, recenter them back around the resurrection, that he's telling them, this is why you are saved. This is why you have life. The resurrection is everything for them, and he's wanting to make it more clear in their minds. The Corinthians needed this reminder of the gospel message of Jesus. They needed this reminder of the empty tomb. They needed to be reminded that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose from the grave. Now, I want you to think about the church at Corinth. You know all the things the church at Corinth dealt with? Number one, they were, and the Corinthians were, a wealthy people. They had everything. And they dealt with all sorts of stuff that Paul addresses to the Corinthians. I'm talking wild things: sexual immorality, incest, temptation, singleness, communion, tongues. Paul's writing all these things to the church at Corinth, and this is the thing he says is the most important for them to get in the front and center of their minds and in their hearts, that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose from the grave. Now, I would imagine some of you need that reminder today because you've forgotten. You're looking at this thing and you're looking at the gospel like it's just a picture hanging on your wall. And you're here Easter Sunday and you're here. There, I expected it. I was going to come to church. Of course, the pastor is going to preach on the cross of Jesus. I know I'm going to take my picture. I'm going to go home. Maybe you do have some barbecue. I'm not barbecuing today. That stinks, actually. But you're like, the Easter, that's great. And that's, you're like the Corinthians. You need that refresher. That hello, Jesus died and came back to life. And Paul kind of puts it in three ways. He says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That is, Christ died concerning your sin and because of your sin. Christ was your substitute on the cross. He was the atoning sacrifice for you. A lot of people die. A lot of people die. Only one person died for your sins, and his name is Jesus. He's reminding them Christ died for you. But then what did he say? He was buried. Why does that matter? Why does it matter that Jesus was buried? Because you only bury dead people. You don't bury people who are alive. Now, I will tell you, there are two stories I've heard that are some of the most horrifying things I've heard in my life. Number one, you've probably read these stories of the people having some major surgery and the anesthesiologist messes up and they wake up. Have you heard these? They wake up and they're awake, but nobody knows they're awake and they're feeling everything. Y'all, that is horrifying. Like, I hear that, and every time I've had a surgery, I'm like, dear Lord, please do not let this doctor anesthesiologist guy mess up. Like, brother, put me to sleep and put me to sleep. I don't want that being my story. Thank God it's never happened. But the second one is, there are stories of people who have been buried alive. Have you read these? Like they thought they were dead. And I wasn't there. Maybe these are false stories. Maybe I should have fact-checked myself before I said this, but you can just imagine you bury a man and the guy's like, yeah, I'm still alive, I'm still here. Let me tell you this. The Romans don't mess up crucifixion. Jesus was dead. He was dead, and they made sure he was dead. There was no like, is he really alive? Is he not alive? Maybe. No. Jesus was dead. That's why they buried him. And he was dead for 3 days. But then what happened? Yeah. Amen. Yes. He came back to life. And let me tell you this, that third part of the gospel is what makes the other two so important, because the other two don't matter if Jesus had never come back to life. He came back to life. I read it this way, it's the receipt for your sins being paid for because he came back to life. It's the very reason why you can be made alive together with Christ, which I don't want to impress you with my Greek because I don't really know Greek well, but my favorite Greek phrase, sunezo poiesin to Christo, made alive together with Christ. That's the reason it happens, is because of the resurrection. The empty tomb brings salvation into focus. Thirdly, the empty tomb brings hope into focus. The empty tomb brings hope into focus. Can we say hope together? Hope. Man, we all need some hope today. Yes, amen. And you keep that up. You keep that up. We need that. Starting in verse 20. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. What hope are we talking about that the empty tomb brings into focus? Your future hope. That this world is not your home. I don't know if that makes you like joyful. I know it makes me very incredibly happy that this world is not my home, because life is incredibly difficult. And this is what Paul is wanting the Corinthians to see, that because of the empty tomb, hope comes into focus. Because Christ resurrected, you will be resurrected one day. Like literally, we will all die. Who came to church to hear about that this morning? We're all gonna die. Yeah. I didn't either, to be honest. We're all going to die, and we all face death. Some of you have faced some hardships that you never thought you would face concerning death. You've lost some people you love that you never planned on. We all face death, and we will all die one day. And Paul is swinging in saying, hey, there's hope. There's a future promise. Death is not the end of the story for believers. Hope. I don't know if you're looking out over your next few days and it's like, man, this looks a little glum. That's a funny word, glum. This looks bleak, you know? I don't know if you're looking out your next week, it's like, man, I can't even see. Man, bring the empty tomb into the frame. There's hope. This world is not your home. And when is the hope really happening? Well, it's here and now, but we're reading it's at the second coming. In case you didn't know, Jesus is coming back one day. We were just singing about it. He's going to descend, and we're going to ascend into heaven with him forever if you have a saving relationship through Jesus. Hope. Fourthly, the empty tomb brings your new body into focus. The empty tomb brings your new body into focus. Skip down with me to verse 49. And Paul writes, and just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can corruption inherit incorruption. Listen, I am telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible and will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place: death has not been swallowed up in victory. We will receive a new body one day. Right now, we've inherited this sin nature. We have bodies that are marred and scarred and flawed. They're breaking down. My knees, terrible. Yeah, at 36, terrible knees. Can't stand them. I'm reminded all the time. My body is breaking. And you've experienced too. You know what it's like to live in your physical body. It's hard. What's the resurrection telling us? You're going to receive a new body. That's amazing. And I think we overlook this part. Like, you're going to be you. Like, you will be you, but you're going to receive a resurrected body one day, an eternal body. That's awesome. Like, we forget, like, when we talk about heaven and new heaven and new earth and new body, we're just like flippantly talking about this stuff, but this is real. Praise God. Like I said, we all, amen. Every single one of us are going to die. You want to know some news when it comes to death? The day you were born dying. I had a mentor of mine, Mike Slade. That's what he would always say. And even when I'm like 15, he's like, you know, one day close to death. It's like, thank you. That's encouraging. But it's true. That's why this midlife crisis is a thing. You hit middle age, 40. What begins to happen? You begin to contemplate, oh my goodness, my time's running out. Because you know, like, you're dying. But for believers, this is amazing news. We receive quite literally brand new bodies. So I don't know if you're struggling, maybe you're hurting, you're in pain, and you're looking out into the future, and you know, man, time's running out, the clock's ticking. There is hope. When the empty tomb comes into the frame, your new body comes into focus. Right now, your body is flawed, it's broken, it's deficient, all that, brand new, amazing. Last, the empty tomb brings strength for today into focus. The empty tomb brings strength for today into focus. And Paul shows us this in verse 58. Listen to this. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Strength for today. Paul says, therefore what? Therefore, in light of the resurrection, in light of all the things the empty tomb brings into focus, strength for today. Can't help but think of that song, that hymn. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. You know what? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Strength for today. Therefore, be immovable. Be be steadfast, knowing your labor is not in vain. The empty tomb brings strength into focus. Now, I said at the beginning, we often look at our issues, our struggles with binoculars, but then I've kind of alluded to a lot of times we look at, now this is amazing news. We have validation, we have hope, salvation, new body, strength. We've got an empty tomb. This is amazing. But a lot of us are guilty of just looking at it. Ever seen that video, just look at it? Looking at it. And it's like you got the gospel just hanging on your wall, just looking at it. You show up to church on Sunday and you're just looking at the gospel. But what we're saying today is when the empty tomb is in the frame, everything else comes into focus. So this is really what life, or how life is called to be lived, like this. See that? This is the frame, this is the vantage point. We should view everything in life just like this. So you're struggling, man, is Jesus really, is he real? Is he the guy? Validation. Oh, he came back to life. He is the guy, he's the Messiah. Doubting your salvation, wondering, man, could he really save me? I know me, empty tomb. Empty tomb, yes, he can. And if you've given your life to Jesus, yes, he has. Salvation brought into focus. Struggling to see the light of day. Thinking, man, I only got a couple weeks left. Hope. The empty tomb brings hope into focus. Body's breaking down. I know that's some of you today. The empty tomb brings your new body into focus. Feel like you can't take another step. Strength for today. When the empty tomb is in the frame, everything else comes into focus. I'm telling you, it changes everything. Question that you have to ask yourself is, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You've heard the gospel. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you could bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want a moment to be able to pray for you. If you wouldn't mind right now, if you're struggling with your salvation, you don't know. You're just like, I don't know. I'm hearing from God, but I really don't know. And I would just like you to pray for me. I think I need Jesus. Would you just lift up your hand? I just want an opportunity to pray for you. I see you. I see you. Anyone else? I see you. I see you. Anyone else here saying, I think I need Jesus. I just need some prayer. Hey, if that's you, I just want you to pray this prayer after me. God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I am in need of a Savior. I repent of my sin. I am so sorry. I believe Jesus died for me and that he rose from the grave, conquering sin and grave. I believe Jesus is the Messiah. And I am asking Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me. And hey, if you prayed that, we are going to have our prayer team on the right and left. They would love to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus. If you want to come down and pray, come down and pray. God, we are grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for the empty tomb. We are grateful that when the empty tomb comes into the frame, everything else comes into focus. Thank you for the resurrection. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand up. We have one last song of worship. Again, if you would like to talk to somebody, about choosing to follow Jesus, we've got some people on my right and left who would love to talk with you. You can come talk to me. If you want to come down here and pray, come down here and pray. But let's continue on in our worship of King Jesus.